Thank you for that song. Good evening. It's good to be with you again tonight. Is anyone out there? Good evening. All right, thank you. Thanks for helping me out there. I appreciate that. I didn't want to be alone. I was going to have to turn and just preach to my wife tonight. But thank you for doing that for us. Can you believe it's Friday night already? It goes so fast. Now, my wife and I do this almost every week during the missions conference season, which is in the spring and in the fall, but it just seems like every one of them, you get there and the next thing you know, you're leaving. And we're not leaving tomorrow. I know Brother Beeman said he might be leaving, but he didn't mean he's leaving tomorrow. He means they're going to leave on Monday. But just when you're here and you're going through and you see God moving, you sense the spirit of the church, it just seems like the time flies. And I just want to say thank you for being here again tonight, the third night of the missions conference. I know many of you plan to be here tomorrow and be a part of the breakfast in the morning, and then we're going out to see the property, and we know that that's now sponsored by Wawa, where you can stop by for a drink and a milkshake for the low, low price of $1.99, or try one of our tasty salads for the low price of $4. I couldn't resist. I hope you're able to come tomorrow. It's going to be a great time. We were able to drive by there today. And, you know, this being our third year back, third missions conference in a row, to come back and to see the progression from the concept to the drawings to it's actually happening. I know you guys are living in the moment, but for us, there's a sense of excitement for us. And I asked Pastor the other day, I said, do you think this will be the last missions conference here in this building? He said, sounds good. I don't know exactly what he said, but I could see his eyes going, I hope so. You know, in some respects, you'll go, wow, that was the last missions conference. But just think about the potential of what God is going to do with Temple Baptist Church in the future. He is not allowing this to happen without a purpose. It's not so that you can pat yourselves on the back as a church and say, look what we've done. No, it's God, why are you making this movement among us? Why are you putting us in this area of town? Why are you moving us? And God has a purpose in it. We talked about that last night, and to be able to step in that boat of what the Lord Jesus is already planning to do, is in the process of doing. And think about it in this respect. God is preparing hearts of people that do not even live over there yet for when they move to that area and Temple Baptist Church is their neighbor. That's the way God looks at eternity from beginning to end. And he sees where we've been. He sees where we are. He sees where he wants us to go. And he's working in all of our lives. I oftentimes think about my life and what's it going to be like when it's finished, and will I reach my full potential? But honestly, my life is just a small square in the tapestry of what God is weaving right now. And when he ties all of those squares together, can you imagine the masterpiece that will be unveiled when we get to heaven and we're able to say, wow, that is just amazing. I had no idea. I went to work, I went to church, we went to school, we did our ministries, we gave to missions, we went on missions trips, but wow, look what God's doing. You know, that's what I get so excited about, that because I have down days. I think the third week of April on Monday is usually a down day for me. It doesn't happen very often, but I mean, I do have days of like, whew, I'm tired. What are we doing here? And we kind of regroup and say, hey, are my priorities in place and all of these things? But when I get back to where I need to be and the Lord starts to work in my heart again, and I start to see, you know, not a young person in kindergarten, but I start to see a young person that's growing up in a church that has a vibrant missions program, and they have a teacher that cares about the things of God and has a heart for these young people, I begin to see potential. And that's what God does when he looks at every one of us. And that's the way I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life saying, well, you'll never get it, and take that paper out of their hand. I want to say, I might not say this out loud, but in my mind I might say, I'm not exactly sure how God is going to use that person, but I know he has a purpose. And I don't want to hinder that in any way. I want to promote that. I want to promote that life of servitude. I want to promote that surrender in their life so that they have an anticipation of being used by God to accomplish great things. You know, we've been talking about this word surrender all week. You know, it's that word that, you know, we kind of like surrender. You know, I'm surrendered to God. And we hold back even saying the word because we don't know what's next. You know, if you were to look, Dr. Don Sisson is going to be with us this weekend. If you were to go back in his life where he was born, I believe it was in Western Kentucky. I know he's from that area. But if you were to go back to the beginning of his life in the early years, and you were to say to him, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're going to do this, he would probably go, yeah, okay. Now he's 88, and you'll hear him here on Sunday when he'll be able to reflect back to that time in West Kentucky and see all that God has been able to do to his life up until the age of 88. And I do believe God's going to give him more years because he's so on fire for the Lord. He has such a passion for serving God, and he has such an influence on people around the world that God is continuing to use him. So don't be afraid of what is it going to look like when I'm 88? Well, for me, it'll look like this, I'm sure. But, you know, not really where am I going to be? No, the next question for me is, where are you going to be after 54? Where am I going to be at 55? And as long as I know I'm where the Lord wants me to be, the location doesn't really matter. It's the journey that the Lord has me on because he knows the ultimate destination. And honestly, you do too. It's the Lord. It's heaven. You're going to spend eternity there. That's our ultimate destination. The journey leading up to that is the Lord's choosing. Where can he use you? Well, wherever he wants to use you. And that life of surrender is just, it's that attitude. It's that anticipation that I was talking about just a moment ago. Lord, I just want to be right in the right place. As Pastor said last night, at the right time to be used by God. Tonight, as we look at that word surrender, and you heard the title of the message tonight, Surrender to Go But Called to Stay, I want us to really begin by understanding that our obedience is key to this entire way of life, if you will. I can say, well, I'm thinking about being surrendered, but if I don't actually surrender, if I'm not obedient to that calling of the Lord in my heart, then I'll never be able to enjoy to the full extent what the Lord wants me to do and to be a part of. So obedience is the key. Think about Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Well, look there if you would. You know the verse. We could just quote it and we might say it out loud together in just a moment. But Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And we see those last couple of words, which is your what? Reasonable service. God has every right to have an expectation that his children would follow him, would obey him, would yield to him, would surrender to him. He has every expectation, just as my children, I had an expectation for them to be obedient to my voice. You say, well, if I had a voice like yours, your children should be scared. Well, I didn't always use the dad voice. I did have it in reserve if needed. But the truth is, I wanted my children to answer a soft voice. I wanted to be able to say, Patrick, yes, sir. I wanted to be able to say, Katie, yes, sir. I didn't want to have to say, Katie, yes, sir. The Lord's expectation should be like yours as a father. Brian, yes. You feel the tug at your heartstring. I have something for you. Yes. Would you surrender? Yes. Will you get on board? Yes. That's that attitude. That's that reasonable service. That's that reasonable expectation that the Lord has of us. And it's not, you say, well, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Then join the Marine Corps. Amen? Some of you will get that in a few minutes. But the idea is, he is our master, and his desires for us far exceed the desires that we have for ourselves. What he can do in us and through us and for us, and we're not doing it so he can do things for us, but he's going to bless us. It's going to feel like he's doing things for us. It's basically based upon your simply saying, Lord, I'll do it. As we look at this, and we look at, tonight we're going to look at the life of Paul. If you want to go back to Acts chapter number 16, we'll look at one verse of scripture here. And then we're going to get really into a practical. We're not going to do a big exegesis of Scripture, but we're going to look into some practical things of what life looks like when you said, Lord, I will go, or Lord, I'm willing to go. And the Lord says, no, that's not what I want you to do right now. Then what do I do? Do I put myself on a shelf? Do I feel like I'm a failure because I haven't gone to the mission field? No, no, no. It's the heart that the Lord is after. It's the availability is what the Lord is after, that he can call upon you, whether it's here in Herndon, Virginia, or whether it's in Kentucky or Florida or California or the Philippines or Ethiopia or in Peru or to the military around the globe, wherever it is, your availability and your accessibility from the Lord to be able to say, I can count on Brian because he says yes every time. That's what he wants. Now, that's exactly what Paul has done in his life. Paul is on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter number 16. He has a plan. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He knows where he's going. He knows where he's going to be when he gets there. He knows who he's going after. He's going to the synagogue. Then he's going to reach out into the Gentiles. He has the mission objectives. He's got the strategy. He's got the contingency plans, all of those things. And yet we get to Acts chapter number 16 in verse number 6. Let's read it together. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, that's interesting, the terminology there. Forbidden to preach the gospel in Asia. Verse number 7, let's look at it at this verse. He says, and they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Here's a person that surrendered. They're already on course for what they believe God's called them to do, and they're moving forward. And I'm not saying Paul wasn't walking with the Lord. Absolutely, he was walking with the Lord to get to where he's going. But the Lord just said, time out. Now, we are about to hear the Macedonian call, and I'm not going to spend the time tonight to look at the Macedonian call, but I want to talk about this time out. Because the Lord has blown the whistle, so to speak, in modern vernacular, and he said, take a time out, Paul, because I'm about to show you something. I needed you to follow that mission objective. I needed you to follow that mission strategy. I needed you to surrender. I needed you to go to the altar and give your all to the Lord. I needed you to get involved in the missions program of your church. I needed all of that to bring you to a point where I could use you to do something you don't even know about yet. And that's where I say the Lord's ways are not our ways. He operates on a level that is not our level. Now, we have access to that level through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, we do. He gives us directions by the Word of God. But there are some things that if he said, Brian, you're going to sit down next to a witch doctor in the village of Wasaranya, and they're going to pass meat around the table, and the witch doctor is going to touch that plate before you do, I'd probably said, Lord, time out. I don't know that I'm up for that. You know, when I was sitting at that table, I'll never forget it, when I found out this man was the witch doctor, and he kind of looked the part. The first thing that went through my mind is, which way is the food coming? And when I found out they would pass it, you say, how do you do all this? My mind just spins in circles sometimes, especially if I'm wired. And I remember thinking, okay, if it goes, and I was like, Lord, I ask you to bless the food all the time, but I'm asking you to bless the food tonight. Because I don't even know what that mystery meat is. And now I don't know what that man's done to it. We're in a brand new village that's never heard the gospel. There's not a single believer in this entire village. I don't know what they think about me. You know, all those things are going through my mind. And at the same time, I'm going, man, I'm glad I'm right where God wants me to be. Talk about turmoil. The idea is be surrendered and say, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. You know, think about this. And in verse number 6, why did the Holy Spirit forbid Paul to preach in Asia when Jesus said to go into all the world? When we think about Matthew 28 and we say, hey, we're supposed to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's go. But we're living in some of the uttermost parts of the earth. Our borders, there are folks coming into our country from places in the world that you and I will never be able to visit. God's bringing them to us. I mean, think about the Ukrainians that are coming into the States now. God needs a witness right here in Herndon, Virginia. He needs a witness in Nashville, Tennessee. He needs a witness in Cocoa Beach, Florida, in Lancaster, California, in New Mexico, Brother Anderson. He needs somebody to be a witness there. Lakeland, Florida, Brother Scott. The Lord needs a witness there. Mexico, he needs a witness there. Sometimes he just says, I want you to surrender, but I'm going to call a timeout. Now, what do we do with that timeout? Let me give you the solution. Paul was only forbidden in the immediate time frame. God had a more strategic route for the gospel through Europe first. And eventually, however, the gospel got to Asia and to every place through Paul's converts in Europe. God has the plan. Trust his plan. But if he says time out, if you come to church and during the invitation time is given, you've knelt at the altar, maybe you've knelt in your seat, you certainly knelt in your heart and you said, Lord, I'm available. And the Lord doesn't give you a distinct destination, confirmation of a people group or a location. What do you do? Now, I want to give you some practical things here tonight, and I'm going to have to hurry. It is Friday night, and we don't have to be here until breakfast in the morning. So I'm not going to hurry through to the point where we neglect something, but let me just give you some thoughts here tonight if you want to write these down. Number one, what do I do if the Lord has called a timeout in my life? Number one, just serve the Lord at home as you would if you were in a foreign country. What do we expect our missionaries to do? I expect Brother Beeman, when he gets to the mission field in the Philippines, I expect him to walk with God, fellowship with God, grow in grace and knowledge and truth, start churches, witness, be a testimony, live for Christ, and make a difference. I think I should have the same expectation of myself. The destination does not dictate what I'm supposed to do. What dictates my responsibility is my relationship to Christ and his working in my life. And he wants me to be involved just as a missionary would be involved overseas. He wants me to do the same thing right where I have been planted. So serve the Lord at home. Here's some benefits to not going overseas. No deputation. How many of you would say, I'm a homebody? All right, a few of you. Did you? She raised her hand. I knew she would. That's my wife over there. She married the wrong man, but she's a homebody. She's going home on Monday. She'll probably tell me, go away and come back in a few days and let her have her peace. But this idea of if God wants me to stay, okay, well, I don't have to do deputation. I'm not going to wear out two vehicles over the next 24 months. I don't have to be in a different place sleeping every week in different churches. Now, I'm not saying that in a complaining way, because when the Lord gives you the directive, he gives you the grace. It turns into an adventure. It turns into something that's just you've never experienced before. And you talk it to a missionary at the end of deputation, they're like, no, it was great. Yeah, this year I'll be teaching the deputation classes at BIMI, and one of the first things that's in my notes to tell them is, you're not going into the ministry, you are in the ministry. Wherever you go, you have the opportunity to serve the Lord, and you're going to grow through the experience. The second benefit, is if the Lord doesn't ask you to go overseas, is you don't have to go to language school. That's a bonus. For a guy like me, it's a real bonus. I don't have the cultural adaptation. Now, in Herndon, Virginia, there's so many cultures, I don't think you could ever get away from that one. You can go from one area of town to another, and it's a completely different culture. So you're constantly adapting here. But think about living in another culture. Think about living in a third world and some of the things that a missionary does struggle with. I talked about that a couple of years ago. Again, not as a complaint, just as a reality of things that they go through and how that you can pray for them. If God wants you to stay here, you don't have to worry about that. You can go to work right now because you're already where God wants you to be. The second way that you can serve is by surrender. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm already surrendered, Brother Brian, but this surrender continually to God and his leadership in your life. Yesterday's surrender does not help me today. It might put me in the right place, but if I don't get up with a heart of surrender tomorrow morning, then I have to start all over again. Why is that? Because that heart of surrender helps me have that sense of anticipation of what God is going to do today. Not yesterday. Yesterday is a day of testimonies of what God was able to do in me and through me yesterday. But, my story with Stan the other day, There might be another stand today, and I don't want to miss that. I want to make sure that I'm surrendered on a daily basis. You know, this continual surrender, this idea of, well, you know, I went forward last week, God was dealing in my heart, but God's dealing in your heart in a new way this week, then make that commitment to the Lord. Keep that heart tender to the voice of God. Don't make it where the windows of heaven have to shake the plates in the cabinet in order to get your attention. Maintain that close relationship with the Lord and let him work in your heart. Let me say this to you about being a missionary. Foreign missionaries have to do the same thing. Just because they arrive on the mission field doesn't mean they've achieved that status that they no longer have to surrender to the Lord. Every single day, they have to get up and say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You give the directions in my life that make my life more meaningful. And today, I acknowledge your presence, your authority, and I want to follow in your footsteps today. And that's what you would expect of your missionary. Well, my friend, let me tell you, your Heavenly Father has the same expectations of all of us. Surrender. He may want you to go later. We heard that testimony tonight with the Beamans. I mean, whoo, he went from, wow, I'll go home and support more missionaries. And then the Lord began to work in his heart. And the Lord didn't want him to go back then, but he had a plan for the future. And at the right time, they said, yes, Lord, we're willing to leave the work at Dell. We're willing to leave the work with the dialysis clinics. We're ready to take our kids, our girls, our three lovely young daughters to the Philippines permanently, if that's the Lord's plan. You know, he may not want you to go right now, but don't say, whew, he didn't call me. No, be surrendered to him and maintain that heart of surrender. But even in the midst of that surrender, continue to serve. And that's number three. Actually, it's number four. Number three is ask your pastor. Seek the counsel of your pastor. What do you mean by that? Well, just go to him and say, Pastor Pittman, I want you to know God's really worked in my heart. And I'm endeavoring to be surrendered to whatever God would have me to do. I don't know what that looks like right now. He's not giving me direction, clear direction. But I want you to know I have a heart of surrender toward the Lord. And what do you want me to do about that? Well, it may be, and I've seen this happen before, the day that you're coming to him to tell him that, he knew of a need that morning and he was praying about it, and you walk in right in the right time and he goes, wow, God did it again. Boom. And there you go. It may be that he's like, you know, let's pray about that together right now. But you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, stay tender, stay surrendered, serve, get involved in the church. What do I do? Well, start small. This is how it's done overseas. You realize when you go overseas to start a church, you don't build a 500-seat auditorium and expect it to fill. No, you start with a hut. You invite folks in. You go into a neighborhood. You do whatever you can. You're still learning the language. You're still learning the culture. You start small, but you're faithful in those few things, and the Lord will give you many down the road. Be faithful and consistent. Say, I'm going to do, if pastor asks me to do something, he can count on me. It will be done the way it needs to be done, and he can count on me, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there early. Why? Because when pastor gets there and I have a job to do, when he gets there, I'm going to be ahead of the game because I want him to know I'm surrendered to the Lord and I'm serious about what God's given me to do here in my local church. Practice that because that's what God will use. You know, this is too far down the line. I kind of skipped over it, but pray. I didn't skip over it on purpose. I just went too far in my notes. Pray about everything. I had a man in my church several years ago. He came up to me and he said, well, you know, pastor, you've been preaching on prayer, but, you know, I save prayer for the big things in my life. I said, okay, tell me what is a big thing. He said, you know, like an amputation on my leg. And I said, well, you still have two legs. So he goes, well, you know, I don't want to waste my prayers on little things. I said, do you understand that verse that says pray without ceasing? He goes, yeah, but that doesn't make sense to me. I said, yes, it does. How can it not make sense? It just simply means pray about everything. Ask the Lord to be such a part of your life that you acknowledge his presence every day in every decision as you're seeking to surrender and be faithful to him. Focus on the Lord and your obedience and not on the results. Just say, I'm all in. God is in control of the results. I'm going to give it my best and I'm going to follow the Lord. Let me give you a fourth thing tonight, and that is submerse yourself in the mission to reach people. What is missions? Why are we here on earth? Do you realize we're here as the spokesman of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are here as his ambassador, as Paul tells us there in Corinthians. We are here to be the person that tells the world that Christ is everything. You know, we are the person that is to be in our society, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our workplace. We are the person that is to be the real deal. People here, Christians are fanatics. They're crazy. They're cultish. And yet, here's this guy I work with, and he doesn't seem like he's any of those things. He's just happy. It's like singing, I surrender all. Well, that sounds heartfelt, doesn't it? No, we should live our lives that it's not that it's like, wow, he really loves serving the Lord. Not. It's like, what is it about Brother Scott? Does he smile like this all the time? Is it part of his DNA? I mean, what is it about Brother Scott? I'll tell you what it is. It's his relationship with the Lord. And when we're living that life and we're being a witness, and I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism, but if you're a Christian, your lifestyle should be evangelistic. And it should lead to your opportunities that the Lord gives you to be a witness and a testimony where you give the gospel. So just simply be faithful. Submit yourself in the mission to reach people with the gospel. Be a volunteer. A pastor shouldn't have to ask you and twist your arm and say, hey, we need more people out inviting folks to church. No, you should just be that person that says, Pastor, you know you can count on me. I'm going to be there. Or if you can't be there, you say, I've got to work this day. But I tell you what, I might be missing that, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it another time this week. And if there's somebody you would like to send with me, I'd be happy to take somebody with me. Everybody loves to go out with someone else, amen? It's that excitement. Now, some of you are looking at me like, wow, he's just telling me I need to be a good church member. Well, it's every head bowed and every eye closed. We're done, amen? Absolutely. Be a Christian that loves the Lord and surrender to him. Now let's specifically talk about the surrender and how you can take this heart of surrender for missions and use it in your church. You get involved with the missions program of the church. I don't really like using that word program, but it is the word that we use. It's not a strategy. It's an opportunity. It is something that God has designed for his people to be a part of in the local church. And it takes what you do personally and it multiplies as we do it together corporately. And God takes that entire missions budget and he does way more than we could do by ourselves. How do I get involved with it? Parents, make sure your kids are involved. Make sure they're exposed to missionaries. I don't mean so that they can catch something. That's not what I mean at all. But so that they can be around and find out that missionaries are real people. They love the Lord. They love what they do. Let your kids be around missionary kids. It's here on Friday night, so it's kind of silly to say this, but make sure you're at the missions conference. You know, if you want to have a heart for missions, you expose yourself to it. You keep yourself close to it. You make sure you participate in the missions giving of the church. You say, well, you know, I already give so much. Well, okay, but are you doing all that God's asked you to do? Make sure you're all in, you're surrendered. You say, well, this year things are tight. I understand. I don't know what God's putting in your heart, but don't underestimate God's power in your life. If he's asking you to do something, trust him that he's going to do it in you. And I can tell you, I remember a few years ago when I was leaving, I had filled out my faith promise commitment card with my wife on Wednesday night of the conference. On Friday night, the Lord called us into missions again. Humanly speaking, I'd already turned in the card, but I thought about the card and I was like, Lord, you knew this was coming. Surely you didn't. And I didn't let it come out of my lips because I already knew the answer to it. Humanly speaking, my paycheck's about to end. And I looked at my wife and she wasn't fighting me on this. And we were just having some conversation. I said, Lord, that's what I say to her normally. But I hate it when my mouth gets ahead of my brain in public. I remember talking to her about the faith promise commitment. I said, you know, hon, I said, going down this path, I'm going to be standing in front of folks on a weekly basis talking about the faithfulness of God. How can I not believe that he's faithful to give what would be the largest amount that we ever promised? And Dr. Sis' voice was echoing in my head. Virginia and I have increased our faith promise every year since, and I remember hearing, I've heard it 100 times. And I thought, if he's done it for him, he'll do it for us. And that first year of deputation as a missionary, giving the largest amount that we had ever given in our adult lives, the beginning of the month, we wrote our faith promise check. Yes, we're old enough to still do that. And you know what? At the end of every month, it zeroed out. The bills were paid. The gas was in the tank. The budget was met. Missions was given first. God's taken care of us. And we lacked nothing. 3 years later, I can say the same thing. We just looked at our statement that came in. Well, it's coming in. But we looked at it this morning. We look at what God has done. We look at our expenses. Our faith promise was paid back at the beginning of the month. This month it'll be paid at the beginning. You know what? It'll zero out. You say, what about excess? Well, we plan for the future. That's part of our budget. But I'm just saying to you, and the thing is, there's an abundance, and we let the Lord do whatever he wants with that. If he gives it through us for someone else, you know, sometimes he gives us an abundance because he wants to channel it through you. Be willing to do that. It's that submissive spirit. It's that heart of surrender. It's that desire to be part of missions, no matter what it is, even if you're a missionary. Let me give you two more things. We're running out of time. Two other things. I'm not sure how you do your missionary letters here. Are they posted? Or are they available? Do you read them? All of those things? Okay. Determine that you're going to read the testimony of missionaries. Wherever it is, if it's posted, if it's read from the pulpit, however you have access to it, or maybe you're friends with some of your missionaries on Facebook, scour through those Facebook posts and look for things that you can pray for. As a family, you know, every so often there'll be somebody that'll send us a message. As my wife and I were on the road, and it'll be a picture of their family with their children holding our prayer card, and they said, we prayed for you tonight as a family. Man, I can't tell you what that does for us. I mean, it's a sense of accountability of, wow, what we're doing really matters to other people, but it's also the influence. I talked about parents having your kids around missionaries, having them hold those prayer cards and pray over missionaries and be involved in their life and praying over specific things. That is a wonderful environment for you to have as a child. My parents invited missionaries over every year during our missions conference. Our conference was 7 days. It was Sunday to Sunday, morning and evening. We had missionaries come in from all over, and there were 6 or 7 different churches that participated in our missions conference. And we would feed missionaries in our home, and I can remember as a little boy sitting at the table, and there was a particular missionary family by the name of Creglo that had been in the Amazon for years and years, and they literally started hundreds of churches. And I would sit and listen to him talk about going up these tributaries and how that the normal boats wouldn't make it, so they actually designed a low-draft boat that would go farther up the rivers there off the Amazon tributaries, and they were able to start churches in places no one else had been able to go. And I grew up in that environment, and when the Lord finally touched my heart and he said, I want you to go, it was like, okay. I mean, I was a little scared, but it was like, God's done it in the Creglo family for 2 generations. He's done it in all these other missionaries that I've met. Let me tell you, it has an influence on your family, and it has an influence on your heart. What do I do? Make yourself available. When pastor says, we need to go on a missions trip, or we got a building to build, be that person that says, well, you know, I don't think so. Say, no, Lord, I surrendered. I'm all in. I don't know what I can do. I don't have this specific talent for this part of building, but I'm available. Pastor, if you need a laborer, you need somebody, you need a cook, you need somebody to maintain the tools, I'm your man. I'll go. You can count on me. You're making yourself available. What's the purpose in this? Because God needs you. It's not just, I need more Beamans. It's not, I need more Bundys. It's not, I need more Baggetts. I'm going to stop there because we're alliterated at this point. But the Lord says, I have something for you to do. And young people, when you do what God wants you to do, he's able to do more. He's able to reach other people, and he does it in you. In this heart of surrender, you can't say, well, God didn't call me to be a missionary, so I must have failed in some way. No. You say, there's something in my life in the past that would prevent me from being a church planner. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. God can't use me. No. God knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you've done in the past. But he also knows what he can do in your heart and your life in the future. And that's why it's just, okay, Lord, here I am. I was talking to a man yesterday in Macon, Georgia, and he was telling me, he said, man, when the missions conference, when you were there a few weeks ago, God just really burdened me about this specifically. He said he was so specific. He said, and I'm running into obstacle after obstacle. What do I do? I said, just keep going. Just keep going. Keep following the Lord. Paul was running into obstacles there in Acts chapter number 16, but he didn't stop. He answered the Macedonian call. Later he went to Rome. The gospel went on to Asia. God got his plan accomplished in that period of time, and he always will. But just say, okay, Lord, you don't want me to go right now. I'm going to continue forward. And I'm going to serve the Lord. Pastor said last night, he said, if everyone were to surrender, or half the church were to go to the mission field, what would happen here? Well, God would take care of it, but it would give him a heart attack. But you know what Pastor wants? He wants 100% of the church to say, I'm here. I hear you. I surrender to you. I trust you. I don't know what it means, but I trust you. I'm going to get in the boat with you, and I'm going to serve the Lord here until you move me, because you brought me here, and I'm going to serve you right here until you move me, and then I'm going to continue to serve you faithfully. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, the spirit of this church is just in a wonderful, wonderful place. Lord, I sense as a visitor that they know that you're doing something special here. Lord, you've been doing special things here for some time. But Lord, there is an expectation you have of us that we recognize each one of us has an opportunity to serve. Lord, I know that there are many, many people who feel that they are not qualified. But Lord, if they're living, they're breathing, they've trusted you as their Lord and Savior, the potential lies in you, not in us. Lord, you are the source of the power. You are the source of working in our life. You are the only one that can do things that have eternal significance. Lord, help us to be open to your leadership, your guidance in our life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all the things that you want to do that we can't even see coming. Lord, I pray that our fear would be overcome by expectation and anticipation. I pray that we would wake up every morning with that fresh anointing and that fresh desire to see how you're going to take our rather mundane plans of the day and turn them into something that has eternal significance. It might be in our work ethic. It might be in our attitude. It may be in the song that you put on our lips. It may be in the smile on our face. It may be how we handle some of the difficult situations in life as we live a life before a world that needs Christ. But Lord, help us to see that every breath that we take has purpose. And Lord, help us to yield to that purpose. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that truly belongs to you. In Jesus' name.